Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
It is rare that I have anything on TV in studio other than sports coverage. NFL Network, MLB Network, sometimes FS1, NBC, depending on what's happening and whether or not there are events that are going on internationally while we're here in studio. Tonight, though, I actually have the Weather Channel on in studio, and I'm thinking about Florida, the Panhandle, the West Coast, Tampa on North. Hurricane Idalia is now a Category 3 with winds of 120 miles per hour and is expected to be a Category 4 when she makes landfall in the Panhandle. And I don't know the exact date, but as I was driving into work, I was listening to the news, and in the area of Apalachicola, again, Panhandle, this is expected to be a storm unlike anything they've seen in 100 plus years. Hurricanes don't generally hit the Panhandle. They don't go up the West Coast and follow the coast of Florida on that side. And so there are a lot of people, 20 million people, I think, are under some type of tropical storm warning or hurricane warning. And there are a lot of people, of course, who are in Florida and thinking of those of you who might be in the path or who are trying to get out of Florida now, because it's a large storm. It's a devastating, could be a devastating storm, and now major Category 3. So I have Weather Channel on in studio tonight, which I'm generally a weather nerd anyway, but this is a big deal. And it is hurricane season, so a lot of people on high alert over the next couple months. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're always happy to greet you, especially on this night, our middle show of the work week. We call it the Hump Show. And I know we're heading into a holiday weekend, but we're also just days away from the start of the NFL season. So we've got some goodies to tell you about, some show announcements, including Survivor Island. Producer Jay either reset his password or start it all over again. Jay, how did you get this worked out so that we now have access to Survivor Island?
It was not easy, but it is the regular old Survivor Island, so nothing's new.
Regular old.
It's still the great, as always, but meaning like, so if you were in the Survivor Island from last season and you want to use that same email, that same pool, you should have gotten an email yesterday, and you just got to click on that, and you'll be ready to rock.
So what happens? You were able to remember the password?
Pretty much. So I don't know how this happened, but it was it's turned into like our old company, Entercom. It was my name under that email, which doesn't exist anymore. But somehow that was under producer Dave's still CBS name. So it was producer Dave's old password, but my old email combination. And I was literally just sitting there for about an hour, just combinations.
Really?
Looking at things, trying things.
It didn't lock you out?
No, luckily. And then it finally clicked.
Wow. Okay. Did you write it down?
I will never forget it again.
Did you take a screenshot?
I have it, and I will never forget
okay.
that again.
So funny, today I actually bought a plane ticket for Atlanta coming up in October. It's a taste testing for the cupcakes that my best friend will be making for the pending nuptials. And so I'm going for a girls' weekend. I'm not sure whether or not Bob is coming. He's sort of invited, sort of. We'll see. And now I feel bad. Anyway, going to see my best friend because she's doing the cupcakes for the wedding. And I had a mini freak out and I thought of you. It wasn't over a password. It was over my TSA pre-check number, which is your known traveler number. I could not find it. It's funny because I went into my email where I had gotten messages, confirmation initially that I had been approved to be part of TSA PreCheck.
Right.
And you open up the email. And when I originally opened up the email last month, the number was there. But when I went back to it today to buy the plane ticket or to put it into the system with the plane ticket, it wasn't there. So TSA does, and I'm it's smart, right? They don't want people losing their numbers or their numbers being stolen,
yeah.
Right? So you're expected to write down your number. They don't send you paperwork. Anyway, so I remember I had taken a screenshot of it, but it took me a good 10 minutes to remember that. I kept looking in the email. I opened up the links multiple times, and all it does is take you to the TSA main page. It doesn't give you your information anymore. It's been wiped out of that particular email,
wow.
Right? The link is empty. In essence,
it doesn't say that when you got it, like this link will disappear.
No, it didn't say that, but I understand why they would do it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And so I finally remembered that I had taken a screenshot of it, and
Brilliant. Yeah,
I don't know how else I would have found it. I'm not sure if you can call TSA, which I wouldn't have done.
It would have been a whole process, I'm
it
sure.
It would have, to be able to figure out that number. So I did take a screenshot of it. I suspect that I need to write it down and put it in my wallet or somewhere with my, for instance, my SkyMiles card or whatever else, so that I don't lose track of it. Because you may remember I had a phone death last year.
I do.
Late last year.
Sad.
It was September, October. And I got the dreaded blue screen of death. The phone never turned on again. Never. And you know what doesn't carry over? So I don't do cloud or anything like that. I do photo dumps onto my laptop periodically. But what you lose is your screenshots. And so I've done this kind of, I don't want to call it lazy, but just it's the modern day address book where when people send me addresses, I just take screenshots of them now. I don't even bother to write them down, which is probably not the best system, but it's one I use.
Well, it's like a notebook in your pocket. I mean, it's the
it
same
is.
Idea.
It is. So I remember that when I had the phone death last year, all your screenshots get wiped out. When you do I'm trying to think what it's, you can't take your old information off the old phone, but when you get a new phone, you can use your number or Google to access a lot of your contacts and that type of thing, your email.
The drive.
Right, exactly. But you cannot access your photos and what was unique to the old phone, and part of that is screenshots. And so I remember I lost a bunch of stuff. So I can't just leave it as a screenshot, because if something happens to this phone, I would lose it. So
it's like gold, that number.
It is. So I best write it down even as we're talking about it. Next commercial break, writing down my TSA pre-check number.
I'll remind you.
So congratulations to producer Jay, who spent, he says, an hour trying to remember the password for Survivor Island. We are in, we're good, and the link is up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. In fact, it's pinned to the top of our show Twitter. It's also pinned to the top of our Facebook page. I suggest you start now. It is August 29th, or for those of you who are awake on your Wednesday, it's August 30th. The season kicks off on September 7th. You don't have much time left. You best get a Kraken. And here's the thing. I suggest you try early only because so many of you have problems. You don't know how to save. You don't know the rules of Survivor Island. Maybe you forget. So while you're listening to the sound of my voice, just go find the link on Twitter or Facebook. You don't have to stick with the pick that you make today, but maybe open up Survivor Island, confirm that you're in, make a pick, save a pick, and then in a few days go back to it just to make sure it's still there. That way, you know that you are prepared for kickoff to the season. Speaking of kickoff to the season, we had a lot of fun with our show question from last night, Tuesday morning. And we were going to go back over the answers because it's fairly entertaining. The number of different teams that you all have submitted for the last in 2023 to earn a win. I will say there's a lot of people who are pointing to the Arizona Cardinals as being the last team to earn a win this NFL season. So we're going to go back through those answers. And we also have a new NFL show question for you on this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Phone number 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. If a groan escapes me now and then during the show, just nod and smile, because after I ran for an hour and 15 minutes, so about 7 miles or so, on Monday evening in thick humidity, I had to mow the lawn, both front and backyards, on Tuesday. I wasn't planning on it, but I realized that A, we have rain coming on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. B, I'm getting ready to go away for a long weekend. And if I did not mow the lawn before I left, it would be a jungle by the time I got back. Plus, I wanted it to get some fresh watering with the rain that's coming overnight and then into Wednesday morning. So I was out there again in the thick humidity, mowing both front and backyards. I did minimal weeding and minimal sweeping, but I was still outside doing 2 hours of yard work. So now, not only do the running muscles hurt, but all of the muscles I use for the various yard work things, yard work activities, and I'm pooped. But that feels appropriate for the hump show. It is our middle show of the work week, which means you get to ask Amy anything. Just as a reminder, we're not doing a lot of wedding questions here on the show, or at least not now. Instead, coming up middle of September, when we get to the three-month mark, 3 months out, baby. Why is time going so slowly? When we get to 3 months out, we will have the wedding edition of Ask Amy Anything. I mean, I never thought I'd say that. The wedding edition of Ask Amy Anything. We'll do it on video for our YouTube channel. And then maybe we'll bring it back here just for fun on the show as well. So we're saving, and by we, I mean producer Jay. Although, Jay, I kind of feel like you're going to have to give me a heads up on the wedding questions that you plan to ask, because what if there are some that I refuse to answer? Is that going to be awkward?
I think I have a pretty good gauge of
ones.
Yeah.
Do you?
I think so.
All right.
I mean, I can give you maybe like a little heads up, maybe if there's one that requires like some thinking just for time purposes or like, but I don't know. I can't show you all of them.
No, you can't show me all of them ahead of time, but what if there are a couple of questions that I deem to be a little too personable or personable, a little too personal or unanswerable?
Unanswerable.
I suppose you can always edit.
Yeah, then we use our editing powers.
Our editing powers. Yes. All right. So wedding version of Ask Amy Anything will be special to YouTube. And that's coming up in mid-September. Gives you something to look forward to. Honestly, I had no idea that so many questions about the wedding would be on our social media. The questions are nonstop. Thank you for caring. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your interest in my upcoming nuptials. Thank you for caring about me personally. Thank you for your curiosity. Though, you know, curiosity killed the sports radio listener or something like that. Some of you are flat out nosy. Let's just be fair. I'm stunned by the number of people who think my entire life is about to change, which parts of my life will change, yes. Parts of my life will not change. Anyway, the wedding edition of Ask Amy Anything will come up next month. and we'll drop it on YouTube first on the occasion of 3 months, 3 months until the wedding. In the meantime, Ask Amy Anything continues here on the show, on The Hump Show. So send your questions to either our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. And again, phone number is always toll free, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Sometimes in sports, we know there is the thrill of victory. Sometimes it's the agony of defeat. Sometimes it's agonizingly close to being a thrill of victory, and instead it turns into the agony of defeat. Oh, sorry, defeat. Sometimes you can have agony with your feet. Alex Cobb, Giant starter, 35 years old, is working on the best performance of his life. He's already hit a career high in terms of his number of pitches. He has seen his Giants teammates behind him make some incredible plays on defense. I don't know, Producer Jay, if we can somehow find the eighth inning call of Austin Slater's diving catch in short center field. Oh my goodness. It was brilliant. He probably ran 25 feet. He got a great jump on the ball. And as the ball is dropping, appears it's as though it's going to dump into short left center field. Slater is able to get on his horse and dive. His glove is at the perfect angle, and he's able to haul it in. And of course, the Giants radio team, they're fantastic, and they give us the brilliant call.
Right side of the infield, straight up. Two down, nobody on. The windup, 2-2 pitch. Swing, and there's a pop fly, shallow left center, Slater racing, diving.
The PBP, Voices of Baseball, is a podcast about the art and craft of play-by-play, and we're in the middle of an amazing season. Catch up on episodes with Joe Buck, Joe Davis, Pat Hughes, and more, and learn along with me, Matt Spiegel, how the job is done.
It's not just home run Bryce Harper in the Phillies lead. To really do it justice, you got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The PBP, Voices of Baseball. I bring you the people who bring you the game. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes the catch! What a play by Austin Slater! A headlong dive is a little slow in getting up, and hopefully he's okay. But he has saved the no-hitter, at least for the moment. And Alex Cobb needs three outs more.
John Miller on KNBR, our Bay Area affiliate. I know KNBR does Giants replay, midnight replays, and so a lot of times those of you who listen in the Bay Area during baseball season, you don't get our show because it's covered up by the Giants replay. Now, in years past, when the Giants aren't very good and it's late in the season, some of you have come to me and have complained, I just tell you listen on the Odyssey app or listen on CBSSportsRadio.com or find us on Sirius XM, channel 158. However it is that you listen, you can do so even if your great local affiliate happens to have a different type of programming. Tonight, I'm sure there are many Giants fans who want to relive the first 8 2/3 innings of what was a career highlight for one Alex Cobb.
Alex Cobb, who is 35 years old. He grew up in Vero Beach, Florida, the longtime spring training home of the Dodgers. He grew up around Major League Baseball. So he knows better than anybody the history that he's flirting with here. 0-1 pitch. There's a drive into right center field. On the run, Matos back into his right, and it's over his head. It will roll into the sixth archway, and that's the first hit. Coming around to score is Senzel. And it is 6-1. And that takes away the no-hitter for Alex Cobb. And you can imagine the emotion as he was that close to realizing something, a dream. that any young ball player would have to maybe pitch a no-hitter in the big leagues. And here at age 35, on the downside of his career, having the game of his life, and it came that close.
Once again, John Miller on Giants radio, and as expressive and demonstrative as he was in the eighth inning when Austin Slater managed to dig out that shallow pop fly that we heard a few moments ago, and he makes that diving catch to preserve the no-hitter, he was just as expressive in his disappointment when Spencer Steer smacks a double into the gap in center field. Kind of pounds his hand into his glove, and you can tell that he's disappointed. Not angry, of course, but just disappointed that he had come so close to realizing this piece of baseball immortality.
Just, you know, whatever, yeah. Still fun, you know. You know, there was no, I wasn't mad, sad. I was just, you know, all right, let's finish it off kind of thing. Would at least like the CG out of it. But so many things have to go right for one of those to happen. When Slates made that catch, I started to think maybe it was going to be one of those nights. But, you know, it was, I haven't seen the pitch yet. I'd like to go back and look at it. But in the immediate, you start second guessing the pitch. But, you know, the split's what got me to that point. So I was going to live and die with it. I hadn't pitched out of the stretch very much, obviously, and I think that was a little bit of a challenge to try to get my kind of groove going in the stretch. So just probably wasn't one of the best splits I threw tonight.
Agonizingly close for Alex Cobb. He does get the complete game and throws a career-high 131 pitches. He has 8 strikeouts, but Spencer Steer prevents the no-hitter with a double in the ninth inning. He was one strike away. If I remember correctly, the call was 0-2. I'm sorry, the count was 0-2, and then it went to 2-2 before Steer hit the double. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what I remember seeing. But what a night for Alex and the Giants and their fans. So we'll get a little more reaction coming up after the break. Plus, we've got a logjam atop the AL West, and you're not going to believe what the Angels just did. Also, Major League Baseball investigating the incident with Ronald Acuna in the outfield at Coors on Monday night. Yes, Monday night. So we're just getting started. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also, you can join us on Survivor Island in advance of the NFL season. Our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Cobb's wind up. Here it comes. Strike three called in the inside corner. Alex Cobb has to settle for a one-hitter. But certainly a disappointment, but I don't think it tarnishes the night that he had, the game of his life. And maybe he'll tell us that there was another one that was better. But he came one out away from his first no-hitter in the big leagues, and he finished what he started.
Obviously pitched great against us. There's no question about that. Made it tough for us. Didn't get a hit till the last inning there. A lot of it had to do with the split. Really good diving action, not only down, but down and in, almost like a sinker. So, he made it tough. Give him a lot of credit.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
David Bell, Reds manager, talking about the gem that Alex Cobb threw just a few hours ago. Comes within one out, really one strike and one hit of having a piece of baseball immortality. At 35 years old, you can imagine he really wanted it. A veteran pitcher. Though I love that John Miller points out multiple times, he's closer to the end of his career, the twilight of his career. But good for Alex, and he also notes that the splitter is what was really working for him. He did have 8 Ks, and even at 131 pitches for the game, which was a career high, didn't seem as though he was struggling. So congratulations to him, because it was a brilliant game, and his teammates, his manager, Gabe Kapler, really enjoying the show.
My favorite moment of the night was the little squibber that Friedel hit down the third baseline in the ninth. And I have never seen Alex smile on a field during like an outing. So just to see that little smile break out, knowing that that ball was foul and that the no-hitter was still intact, was just the moment that I won't forget. But obviously, it was just a beautifully pitched game. He executed with all of his pitches. He seemingly had plenty of gas left in the tank in the ninth inning, which I think was at least somewhat surprising. Didn't feel like he was like running out, and but was just gutting his way through that ninth. Still felt like he had his command, and I think pitch number 124 was like 95. So yeah, pretty impressive outing, and pitched about as good a game as we've seen in the last couple of years.
Now, if we're thinking about how this helps the Giants or the NL West standings, you know that right now they're dominated by the Dodgers, who got another win on Tuesday night, and Clayton Kershaw moving to 12-4, though not a vintage Kershaw performance. He was actually not thrilled with it, though Dave Roberts raved about him because he takes another step up a career historical chart, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Still 4 wins shy of the Braves for best record in the National League. However, the Giants are 13.5 games back in the West. That's crazy. The Dodgers now have a bigger lead atop the NL West than do the Braves in the East. And so both the Braves and the Dodgers have not a whole lot to play for in terms of sense of urgency between now and the end of the regular season, unless they're going to compete for that number one seed in the NL. But the Giants, they've got a lot going on. Right now, they are sitting in the third place spot, or the third wild card spot, I should say. The Diamondbacks are a half game behind them in their own division. The Reds are just 2 games out, and the Marlins are within 3 of that last wild card in the NL. So that should be a dogfight going the rest of the way. Speaking of wild cards, the Phillies are on top of those NL wild card standings. They've got 5 straight wins and 5 home runs on Tuesday night. Really cool moment with Bryce Harper, which was kind of fun. And so we can talk about the game a little bit later on, but he hits a home run. And then afterwards, apparently, he's a big fan of sports radio.
Driving in today, and you know, I'm listening to WIP like I do a lot, the 2 o'clock hour. And a guy named Chuck called in, and he calls in a lot. He's hilarious. But I said, you know, he was talking about our team and talking about me and stuff. And I walked in the training room. I was like, I'm going to go deep tonight for Chuck. So that guy had me fired up, man. But, you know, it's just funny. I mean, this team as a whole, we, you know, come in here, play with the Phillies across our chest. We're all family. We're all pulling, you know, on that same rope. And, you know, we just have a great group in here, a lot of fun, and just, you know, really good team.
How about that? Bryce Harper listens to sports radio on our Philadelphia affiliate, WIP, and driving in, he always catches the same hour. And apparently Chuck, I wish we had the call. The call's got to be out there somewhere, Jay. I wonder if we can find it for a little bit later in the show. Anyway, Chuck said something about Bryce Harper hitting a home run. So Bryce walks into the Phillies clubhouse and says, I'm going to hit a home run for Chuck. And he does, in fact, hit a home run for Chuck. And in doing it, it's home run number 299 for his career. So he's on the cusp of a pretty sweet milestone. Oh, we want to hear. Would you like to hear from Chuck, Marco Belletti?
I would, actually, yeah.
All right, let's hear from Chuck on WIP in Philadelphia.
Bryce Harper, man, Mike Kodell is one of the best Philly ever. You know what I'm saying? And I tell you, I don't want to see nobody else win a ring more than I want to see that guy win a ring.
All right, so...
And apparently the call, as he, you know, as he goes on, said something about how he wanted to see, or he thought Bryce Harper was going to hit a home run on Tuesday night, which is exactly what happened. So pretty sweet. All right, so more to get to in baseball, including just a a move by the Angels that, I mean, it's an appropriate way to end, essentially, for all its intents and purposes, end their 2023 campaign. But just, oh my goodness, what a mess. And who knows what happens in the offseason. So we'll get to that. Also, you may have thought Jonathan Taylor would be on another roster by now. That's not the case. We'll give you the latest for the Colts running back. And Trey Lance speaks now as a member of the Dallas Cowboys. We have a lot to talk about. The Ryder Cup team for the United States is set. A bit of controversy there because, right, golf is not ever without its drama these days. And next hour when Marco comes in studio, we're going to analyze, dissect and analyze one of the most bizarre stories that I've ever heard when it comes to sports. And it's kind of sports, but it's kind of not. Serious situation, but also bizarro world. I'm not sure Jay's heard this, Marco, so we're going to have to inform him because, you know, we need producer Jay to be, you know, abreast of current events, if you will. So this is a doozy, Jay. Don't be looking on the internet at any point between now and an hour from now. But you don't want to miss it because we're... Yeah, Marco and I have already discussed it, and neither one of us really has a
good wording for you on that one, too.
Yeah, we've already discussed it, and neither one of us really has any understanding or cognizance of human nature after this.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I know, you're not going to know either. After we tell you the story, you're going to feel the same way, just as confused.
All right.
So we'll get to that an hour from now. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, you can also join us on Survivor Island for NFL Week 1.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I think the world of Jonathan. He's been a great Colt, been a great player for the Colt. You know, unfortunately, last year he got hurt early in the season, was dinged all year, fought through it till he finally got to a point where he had to, you know, have the surgery. And now he's finishing his rehab process. And so hopefully as we move forward here, we'll get him back. But we need to get him 100% healthy before we do anything.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Chris Ballard, Indianapolis Colts general manager, going back a couple weeks on Jonathan Taylor. Now, there were other developments between then and now. Taylor had asked for a trade. The Colts initially had balked at it, going all the way up the chain to owner Jim Irsay. But finally, last week, allowed Taylor and his reps, his camp, to seek a trade. And there were multiple teams that reached out about acquiring Jonathan Taylor and his contract. He still has a year left on his deal. We knew the Miami Dolphins had been looking for a running back. Didn't come away with Dalvin Cook. He's now with the Jets. You'll hear from him a little bit later on. And so they did their due diligence on Jonathan Taylor. And there were multiple other teams, according to reports, that at least inquired about the All-Pro and maybe even put in an offer, a trade offer. It did not happen. So the Colts and Jonathan Taylor are still married, though it's a rocky relationship at best. Let's get the deets from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network.
Couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months, we've been talking about a potential Jonathan Taylor trade ever since it became clear that he would request to be traded, then subsequently receive permission for his agent Maki Kawa to seek a trade. There was interest, real and significant interest from the Miami Dolphins and others. My understanding is the Colts had at least two solid offers. The general manager Chris Ballard, who really held a high bar, Mike, wanted at least a late first-round pick. He decided it wasn't enough. There was a chance I was told that a trade would happen. In fact, there were plenty of times over the last couple days that I thought a trade was moving toward completion. In the end, Ballard simply decided that it was not enough to trade a star running back in his prime that the Colts decided not to pay. So Jonathan Taylor goes on the PUP list. He is off the field. He starts the first 4 weeks of the season while recuperating from this ankle injury. And stay tuned for the next saga, which will probably start about a month from now.
Ugh. So now it seems as though the next best opportunity for the Colts to move Jonathan Taylor would be before the NFL's in-season trade deadline, which is Halloween. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The franchise tag obviously in play if we get to the end of the season and still nothing, no movement on the trade front. But for now, what does it mean for now? Well, he's on the PUP list. The physically unable to perform PUP list. And we had just talked about this on last night's show because Kyler Murray remains on the PUP list. With the new NFL rules, they've been tweaked recently. You cannot play for at least a month. So the first four games, you have to remain on this list and you're ineligible. And then there's about 3 weeks in there where you can come off the list, you can practice. If you're still not added to the 53-man roster, well, then you're out for the rest of the year, right? So there's a window after you come off the PUP list for you to become a member of the active roster or to be activated by the team. It doesn't mean you're active for every game. It just means you have a roster spot. If that doesn't happen in this window, which is, I think, 21 days, well, then you're out the rest of the year. So Jonathan Taylor will at least miss games against the Jaguars, the Texans, the Ravens, and the Rams. So three AFC opponents, including two in the AFC South, which is their own division. Whether or not he's eligible by Halloween remains to be seen. But yes, the trade deadline comes up at the end of October. My concern about Taylor, and I've said this multiple times on the air, and I can understand why possible trade partners would balk at giving up a ton of either draft capital or players, assets, which doesn't always happen, but they'd balk at giving up anything significant for Jonathan Taylor. The Colts were reportedly looking for a first-round draft pick or something that would be equal to that. If he's not healthy, then why are you giving up major draft capital for him? I get that when he's healthy, he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. But when he's not healthy, he's middling. We saw that last year. He tried to fight through injuries, but not nearly as effective. So now he's upset about the team not giving him a contract extension. Okay, so he's going into the final year of his rookie deal. You know how this goes. A lot of athletes, they don't want to wait till their deal's done. They want a new contract before their rookie deal, their current deal runs out. So they try to leverage what they've done in the NFL to that point. And in the case of Jonathan Taylor, he had a brilliant 21 season. Led the league in rushing, more than 1,800 yards, but had an ankle issue last year that really plagued him. You also throw into the mix the fact that the Colts did extend a couple of guys, a couple of teammates, at the end of their rookie deals. Shaquille Leonard, the offensive lineman Quentin Nelson. Oh my gosh, he's so important if they want to have any success this year, especially with a rookie QB. But Quentin Nelson was a major priority. Still, though, if you're the Colts, it makes smart business sense to wait until you know if Jonathan Taylor is completely healthy. So they did not give him a new contract extension and initially weren't interested in trading him either. And so it's become a stalemate since then. They need him. Anthony Richardson needs him. as his BFF in the backfield, his backfield BFF. However, I keep coming back to, is he actually hurt? Is he actually unable to play? Is he actually still not healthy after all these months of the offseason? And if that's the case, I got to side with the Colts. We're talking big time money here. Not that Jonathan Taylor, a healthy Jonathan Taylor, wouldn't be worth it, especially when you consider what Derrick Henry's making. Now, Derrick Henry's sample size, it extends back a few more years. He's been a workhorse and a bell cow for the Titans. Christian McCaffrey, though, he's been injured a bunch, but he's extremely versatile, and he's a game changer when he's on the field. Nick Chubb, he's also been a premier back and a guy who set the tone for the Browns' offense. If Taylor wants to have that kind of money, he's got to be healthy. So it makes sense for the Colts to wait and see. And we know holdouts, they generally do not go well for the players. Josh Jacobs is finally in camp. But camp. He's finally back with his teammates. He got a rework deal to pay him up to $13 million this year. Remember, he got franchise tagged. Saquon Barkley and Tony Pollard, they both got into camp earlier because they realized they didn't have a whole lot of leverage. And in the case of Taylor, as good as he is, not only is he an NFL player who's under contract, it's not like he refused to sign his franchise tender. No, he's under contract. So he's going to be giving up a lot of money if he decides to hold out or prolongs his holdout. Kind of like a Chris Jones, right? But Chris Jones says, I don't care. I'll wait. Zach Martin said the same thing with the Cowboys. I don't care what it costs me. I'll wait. But Jonathan Taylor, he's under a rookie deal. I mean, do they make more in their final year of a rookie deal? Sure. But we're not talking about a free agent deal that's paying him exorbitant amounts of money, right? That's what he wants. He wants the new deal with the guaranteed money. But in order to get that, especially at the running back position, I think you're better off to get out there and play. And then again, I come back to, if your ankle is still a mess and it's still not allowing you to be effective, isn't that a deterrent to getting a new contract? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season, so head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.